Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, Sports Dramatics. I see Des Moines released their the Timberwolves affiliate. The Des Moines, Iowa Wolves, I guess it is, put their roster together. And as expected, I guess, but nice to see Jordan Murphy, the former Gopher, is on that. He got cut from the Gophers earlier, not the Gophers, from the Timberwolves out of training camp. And you kind of thought that he'd have a chance to make that team, and he did. He made the team there, so he'll be playing there. And that's a chance for him to, you know, maybe at some point in time get a shot up here, whatever it is. But it's a chance for him to keep living his dream. And he was – this is where – and I'll never forget this, but you watch these Big Ten players play, and they are really good. They are really good. And when they – you watch them play at Williams Arena, you see all these games, and you see these top line, you can see the Final Four here, and you see all these really good players. And you go, wow, those guys can play. And the vast majority of them will never get much of a sniff in the NBA. And it makes you realize how that pyramid, how tight that gets at the top, in basketball more than any other sport. These athletes are so good. And they can be really good in college, great players in college, and never see the floor in the NBA. So years ago, I'm at Las Vegas for the Las Vegas has the summer games, and the Wolves had just drafted Randy Foy, and Foy had gone there to play on his summer team, and so he goes and plays, and we're watching all these teams play. And Rick Rickert was there playing as an example, you know, great player, and lots of guys like that ilk. He was on one of the summer teams, you know, lots of guys playing, et cetera, et cetera. And they all look good to me. They all look athletic. They're lean. They're in great shape. You got good shooters, guys that are quick, guys that can jump. All that stuff unveils itself in front of your eyes, and you go, whoa, I don't know how you begin to, if you're a coach, to say who stays and who goes, because they all could do something really well. You know, they can handle the ball. They can do this. And I know these coaches have a trained eye, and they're much better about this than I. And then Ron Artest came back. And he was coming back from an injury, so he got to play in this thing. And Artest was a veteran, but because he was coming back from injury, they allowed him to play with the rookies and the guys trying to make the team. And so he shows up, and he's playing for the Phoenix Suns, and so it's his turn to play in the game. And you go, well, you know, okay, he's going to play, but I don't see how he'll stand out anymore. And he just stole the show. The game was so easy for him. He'd get the ball, he'd pump fake, he'd make one from 15 feet, he'd make one from 20 feet, and he was just so much better than everybody else on the floor. And you go, oh, okay, now I see. There's good, and then there's unbelievably great. Joining us right now, an old friend from Minnesota that's doing great things with College Coaches Solutions and helping find jobs for coaches, but he's been an athletic director, a commissioner, and run the Final Four and everything else. Jeff Schemmel, great to visit with you anytime.
Well, Mike, glad to be on, and it's here in Atlanta, it's a little warmer than I think you're having up there.
Last time I saw you walking down the street of the Super Bowl, and there you were. And it's like, that looks like Jeff Schemmel. It was one of those moments, wasn't it? When you just
because
sure there's nobody else on the street. And it's like, boy, that almost looks like Jeff Schemmel. Well, maybe that's because it is Jeff Schemmel.
And I did the double take. I think that's Mike Mack.
That was a fun reunion. Well, Jeff, the news comes down today, and everybody's trying to process this. And I know you've been on top of it, and it affects the coaches and the coaching searches. But how does it strike you? Was this simply the NCAA saying, hey, it's coming whether we want it to or not, and so we might as well get out in front and try to control it? Or what was today's decision in your mind?
Well, I think there is still a lot of work to be done, but I think what the committee said today was, hey, listen, we acknowledge that this is something we need to do. The name, image, and likeness issue is is something we are committed to dealing with, and we're going to allow student athletes to make money relative to their name, image, and likeness. But that's all they said today. And at the and if you read the whole thing, it's now it's back to the committee and to the membership
sure.
to figure out how we're going to do this and what are the parameters. There are so many issues related to this that will affect the college athletics model that we have
yeah.
today that I think a lot of work still needs to be done on how we're going to do it. And, of course, they're faced with a deadline, starting with the state of California, that has passed a law that says in 2023 we're going to let this happen. So you guys figure it out before we get there.
Okay, so as we talk about value of athletes and likeness, when you get beyond the high-profile guys, I saw a thing where Zion Williams, and they said would have been worth $2.5 million last year at Duke based on what he generated and how, whatever. But Jalen Hurt, Heisman Trophy winner, would have been worth $250,000 because whatever reason, not as many impressions, whatever it was that they were using in their algorithm. But is it not a case of certainly there's going to be money thrown around, but if you're not high-profile or in the elite – you really aren't a big commodity to a sponsor.
Well, I think that is a really good point and a good starting point for all of us. There are such a limited number of student athletes that are going to be, to use the word, attractive to a sponsor.
Yeah, because you've got to be able to sell their product or they're not interested.
Yep, that's right. And so you've got to be high profile. And fair or unfair, the high-profile athletes typically today are in football and men's basketball.
Yep.
And so how do you level the playing field among all your student athletes to take advantage of what's here? And so what I hope, at least from a legislative point of view with the NCAA, is that we come up with a formula that allows a sharing of that revenue among our student athletes, and that's gonna have a lot of issues related to it, not the least of which is Title IX.
Yep.
So I think at the end of the day, there's a whole bunch of work yet to be done in a way that makes this fair to everyone, and I think that the big feeling among administrators particularly and coaches as well, I think, in the country is this will become a very large recruiting tool. And I was funny you should have this conversation tonight, because I was just in a meeting today where I said, you know, I was at the University of Minnesota for 13 years, and the advantages that Minnesota might have because they're in a metropolitan area.
Yep.
And there are Fortune 500 companies, and there are many, many businesses that would at least be interested in having a student athlete sell their wares, that it will be an advantage for a place like Minnesota. And I think as good as that might be for Minnesota, it has to be, unless we want a group of Power Five institutions that separate themselves from everyone else when it comes to this, we got to figure out how to at least try to level the playing field.
Yeah, and maybe that's what we evolved from. But you deal a lot with coaches. Are coaches at the stage yet where they're starting to project their futures and go, I have to take this into account and figure out where is going to be the low-hanging fruit?
Well, I think that is it's not just coaches, it's administrators. In fact, we are doing a project right now for a not to be named client of ours that is a preeminent football power in this country, has won national championships recently, that is looking at how do we look at what we're doing in anticipation of the name, image, and likeness legislation coming on board. How do we budget for that? How do we figure that out? So there just are so many issues that typically the national media hasn't touched on that we all worry about as we prepare for this day.
Well, you know, and the flip side of that could be, you know, SMU's got their football program rolling right now for the first time in however many years, and since the death penalty and all that stuff that you saw, you know, firsthand back in the day. Yep. Let's just say hypothetically that same guy that's rolling in the money in the oil business and SMU might not be in a Power Five, but he says to the basketball coach, "Hey, I'll put your billboards all over town, and here's my donation, and you can use that to recruit with." Do you think they'll be able to get out in front of that, or is this thing just going to be too difficult to manage that way?
Well, there is no question, Mike, that it's going to be difficult to manage. I think that the challenge for the NCAA and for this committee that is in charge of putting together legislation that will deal with this is to address those issues and say, how can we possibly incorporate the ability for a student athlete to make money based on who they are and what they are and where they are, and still have this be a competitive Division I enterprise that doesn't just take 10 institutions in this country and separate them from everyone else.
Boy, yeah. When you look at coaches, the ones that you work with, and you look at, obviously here PJ Flex won this year, and then people start to talk right away, will somebody try to come and get him, et cetera. Are most of the coaches that you represent, in terms of their motivational flow chart and what motivates them the most, I'll give you a multiple choice, and I'd be interested to hear what you have to say. Is it money? Is it the personnel at that school that you can recruit? Or is it the athletic director and or president that serves at that college? What's the biggest thing that a coach looks for if he decides to try to move up?
Well, in that order, I would say that most coaches and most athletic directors, their primary look is who's their boss and how will they be managed and what kind of resources and abilities will be given to them to help them succeed. That clearly is the most important thing for most coaches, and I can't let you talk about Minnesota without me saying I never miss a game, and every game I talk to Mark Coyle, who we worked with worked together at Minnesota when I was there, and I am just incredibly thrilled for what's happening right there. And we were close a few times at Minnesota when we were there with Glenn Mason, and I think now you're poised to do the same thing, and I'm excited for Mark and for Coach and for that entire program. It's fun to watch.
And along those lines, and I don't know what they'll do with PJ Fleck. They'll give him some kind of an extension offer, I'm sure. But do extension offers in college football or the high power sports, do they mean much? Because it just seems like you can give it to somebody, but you're kind of free to leave when you want.
Well, the buyout money these days is astronomical.
So that's becoming the big key, huh?
Yeah, I think so. And I think for those in the Power Five who are at the top of the Power Five, that doesn't mean much to them because they're willing to pay whatever it takes. Mm-hmm. But I do think it is an important piece for the rest of the gang, because I think when you're talking about a 10 or a 15 or a $20 million buyout for a coach, that gets people's attention, and it puts an incredible amount of pressure on athletic directors to say, yeah, we're going to pull that trigger and pay that kind of money, and not just ADs, but presidents. We're going to pay that kind of money as an institution to get this coach here, and by golly, they better succeed if they're coming.
And I think that happened with Tubby Smith at Memphis. He had he was. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but he had the contract and the buyout on the other side in his favor, and the guy that owned FedEx said, "Great, I'll pay it all and bring in Penny Hardaway." So you never know, right?
Yep, that's exactly right. I mean, if you've got someone like that, it's a difference maker. But at the end of the day, it's all about what kind of success you're going to have, whether you're an AD or a coach. And as we all know, having been through what we went through at Minnesota, to do it the right way, mm-hmm. and to make sure that you are following the rules and doing it in a way that will continue the success in the future.
In college basketball, you, like I said, you ran the Final Four when it was here, and this last year you were here for it, and it was a wonderful Final Four when it was in town in Texas Tech and Virginia.
Yep.
And there weren't a lot of NBA players. Timberwolves got one of them. But have we settled into, do you think, in college basketball that It'd be great if we had LeBron James playing, but if we, because people were just thrilled with the competition they saw here in town. You know, just how hard they played and how well the game was played. Have we settled into, as an audience, you think, kind of accepting that maybe there's a lot of great players in the NBA, but this is a really cool brand of basketball to watch?
Well, I subscribe to that second theory. I think that most of America and most of the college athletics fans, college basketball fans, subscribe to the theory that we just want to watch great basketball, and tied much more to the institutions than they are to the players. And boy, we experienced, I mean, I tell people all the time, Mike, the greatest athletic experience I ever had in my life in college athletics was the night we came back from San Antonio, a full house at Williams Arena. Oh. And it was goosebumps for 3 days for me.
Remember that? You're chanting beat Kentucky in the Williams Arena. Yep. I'll never forget that. Place was packed.
Yep. And I think that's the loyalty and the allegiance of fans to their institution will trump anything.
And when you look at college football, let's say this gets implemented and it becomes a Power Five league, do you think in 10 years, even if we don't recognize it, we'll still be satisfied with it?
Well, good question. We all ask ourselves the question every day: what's this? What is major college athletics going to look like in 10 years? And especially now with this new legislation, and how will athletes be compensated? Might we change to an employee-employer relationship where a student athlete who receives a full ride, and that's what we forget sometimes is a full ride today, a full scholarship today is an incredible piece. I mean, kids get their full room and board, tuition, books and fees, in addition to, in many cases, Pell Grant, in addition to nutrition that is off the charts for all these student athletes. It's an amazing package that they get today. And if we enhance that, what will that look like?
Yeah, you're right. And, you know the inside part. I don't think a lot of people even realize that a Pell Grant's free money for some kids who already have their education.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, there's lots of things there that I don't think, as you said, you go eat whatever you want to eat at the best places, you know, the best nutrition in town. There's so many advantages there. That I just hope that we can keep it so we all enjoy it, you know?
Well, me too. I hope we keep what we all have considered for 100 years, the college model that people can get behind and say, we love these kids because they're amateur athletes and they're doing it for their schools. I just think it's what separates us from everyone else.
Jeff, appreciate it very much. Look forward to seeing you sometime somewhere soon. But thank you so much for giving us some time on a timely issue.
You got it, Mike. Anytime.
Jeff Schimmel, nice enough to join us. And he's right in the middle of it all the time with coaches, et cetera. He mentioned that when the Gophers came back and they qualified for the Final Four from San Antonio to here, and I was on the plane with the Gophers at that time. I was doing the coaches' shows with Clem Haskins, et cetera, and I was riding on the plane. And so, too, was Sid Hartman. And I'll never forget a story that he had on the plane that day. I'll never forget it for the rest of my life. I'll share it with you when we come back.
Sports to the Max.
Welcome back, Sports to the Max. So the Gophers won down in San Antonio, and Jeff Schimmel just alluded to it. It was something. There are certain Minnesota magical moments. Certainly, you know, the Twins talk about coming home in 87. Remember, everybody talks about that as the highlight of their year that year for the players when they came back after beating Detroit, and the dome was filled with people. This was a kind of a mini version of that when they got back to Williams Arena, and I was on the plane, and we went and covered it, and it was something. But Sid Hartman was on the plane with me, too. I don't know how he talked himself onto the plane. He just does, you know. And so we're sitting on the runway in San Antonio, and the pilot comes on, and you know, we can't figure out why we're not taking off. Everybody's thrilled that they won and going to get back home and Final Four next in Indianapolis. And, you know, you just want to get back and share it with Minnesota and all that stuff. There's a great crowd of Minnesota people that are showing up there. And the plane is sitting on the runway and sitting on the runway and sitting on the runway. And finally, the pilot comes on and says, I'm sorry to report that we're overweight. in terms of what we can carry. And so we're going to have to sit here for a while and burn fuel until we get down to a number that we can take off and fly back to Minnesota. So bear with us, and you know, we'll back with you shortly. We hope to be, you know, on the air, blah, 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 and whatever. And so obviously you think about something, you know, you go, whoa, I didn't realize that they had that kind of a problem, or that, you know, you could be overweight and all that stuff. And but they'll burn the fuel and we'll be just fine. And the Gophers had just beaten UCLA. I mean, the storied program, they just beaten UCLA for this deal. And Sid looks at me and he says, how about that? This plane goes down and UCLA ends up in the Final Four after all. I don't know how. I mean, I wouldn't have gone there in a minute, but it's it. And eventually, this was taking forever, so we literally, we meaning myself and a couple of other people that have evil in us that we don't like, every once in a while we like to exude, we sent Sid up to the cockpit to ask the pilots what was taking so long. And so, yeah, the pilots never got even with us for that, but we sent Sid up there just to find out what was going on. Plenty more to come. He is one of the winningest coaches in the history of Minnesota State High School football. He'll tell us what he does to keep his teams playing into November and what it means to him to develop not a football player, but a football person, someone who's been influenced by football. There's a difference. He'll explain next.
Sports to the Max.
Welcome back. Sports to the Max. News Talk 830 WCCO. The World Series is underway, game six. This has just been the darndest thing. And the Houston Astros lead Washington 2-1. I go back to 87 and 91, where the home team won every game. To date, the visiting team has won every home game. All right, in every home game, the visiting team has won every game. The problem for Washington is they go back to Houston and they got to face Dr. V, Verlander, Justin Verlander. And he is one of the most enjoyable pitchers to watch. You know, when he's with the Detroit Tigers, when they had a pretty good team, he was carrying it, you know, in part. He was the ace. They had a lot of good players on that team. But he was the ace's ace. And he'd come to town. And he was really a gracious and a good interview. And he was, when I look at him, and when he put on that Detroit Tigers uniform, he would look a little like Jack Morris. And they were both, you know, big, strong right-handers, and they threw hard, and they were kind of those rare comets that came through. And I can remember one of the things that he said one time was he got so caught up, he threw so hard. And he was one of those pitchers that would get caught up and seeing, hey, I'm going to give the fans a treat now. I'm going to see if I can hit triple digits and go to 100. And he did from time to time. And now he still throws hard, man. He can still amp it up. He's big and he's strong and he's got strong legs and he's got all that stuff. And now he's even a little smarter. He can take something off it once in a while. He can do some different things. So it's fun to watch him pitch. It's fun to watch him go through a lineup the first time and then go through it the second time. It's kind of like, this is what I learned. Now I'm going to back off. Now I'm going to do this. Now I'm going to do that. And that's what Jack Morris could do. I always talked about, you got to be a power pitcher, but you got to have a trick pitch. You got to have something that they don't see coming. And for Jack, for many years, it was that split finger. And I tell you, you can't help. Somebody posted on Facebook the other day. And it was the final out of the 87 World Series because it was just the anniversary of it. I mean, nothing changes the community like that. Nothing galvanizes you like that. Nothing even compares. And every year when we get to these points, we all get to relive those for the rest of our lives. Joining us right now, one of the most successful coaches in the history of Minnesota State High School football, the one and only Dwight Lundeen from Becker, Minnesota. Dwight, thank you for joining us.
Well, my pleasure, Mike.
You've been here before. It's getting to be November, and you're still playing football, and that's a good sign. What, you know, yeah. Sometimes, Dwight, you know this better than anybody. These section playoffs, depending on what section you're in, who you match up with, I mean, once you get past the first round, there are just some terrific matchups where, you know, one versus four, and there's a sliver of difference sometimes.
Absolutely. There's great, great matchups. You know, you're down to 16 teams in each division. There aren't any easy games left, and just a bounce of the ball or a call here or there can determine who's going to move on, and that's the exciting part of it, that's for sure.
Now, I remember a few years ago you played Orono in the section finals, and a lot of people thought at the time this could be the state championship. You did go on and win it, I believe, that year, but it was just a terrific game. And correct me if I'm wrong, did you go for two in the win or something like that at the end?
Right, we had lined up for a kick extra point. We were down real late in the game, probably less than 30 seconds left. We scored and lined up to kick an extra point to tie it and go into overtime, and the kid jumped offside, and so we got 1.5 yards and dove one in there and won it. So that's how close it was, yeah.
What's it like for a coach when you sit on the sidelines and you go, okay, now we're at the 1.5. You have to decide right now, and everybody knows this is it. This is the season. What do you process? How do you process that?
Well, you prepare. I think, doing it this long and a great staff, you know, you very quickly say, you know, this is what makes sense. There's no guarantee you're going to win it in overtime. There's no guarantee you're going to kick it through there either with a snap and a hold and a kick. So, a yard and a half is easier than 3 yards. So, to me, that was a determining factor. And we didn't get in there by much. It was probably less than a yard. Huh. So it was the right call at the right time. And that's the fun part of it. You know, they do this and you do that. And that goes on for the whole course of the game.
But, you know, I was talking to somebody about this the other day, and this will get lost in some of the, you know, as people visit and revisit Gopher football right now with all that's going on. Right. You would appreciate this. The coach, though, you know, a few years ago, Tracy Clay is the head coach. They're playing Michigan on a night game at TCF Bank Stadium. Harbaugh is the coach. They're going back and forth. It comes down to they got the ball at the 1 yard line, 2 yard line, the Gophers do, and they go for the win on fourth down with Mitch Leidner instead of taking the field goal and the tie. And they don't get it, and they lose the game. Well, if he makes that play, that yard and a half, whatever it was, the Gophers win 10 games that year. It's pretty hard to paint a scenario where you'd ever get rid of a coach with a 10-win season if it's never been done. I mean, I'm not saying that all lines up and that's the way it would have worked out, but
it might have.
It might have, yeah. And, I mean, you think about that. How many lives change? And, you know, you didn't realize it at the time because you didn't realize they were going to go to a bowl game and play well against Washington State and all this stuff.
Right.
But you could make a case that would have been impossible to get rid of him, and you had to give him a contract extension at the time.
Sure, sure. Yeah, well, you know, we don't have that kind of pressure at our level.
But.
And we don't weigh all of those things, but we have to make that decision, like you said, in a matter of just a few seconds, you know, before you get a five-yard penalty. And you might not have a timeout. You might have one. But, you have to make it real quick, and you practice that kind of stuff. And what do you do on short yardage? And so those are things you've prepared the kids to do, and it goes in your way.
Do you call the plays?
My son calls all the plays offensively. And, you know, I make the decision if we're going to punt or not punt or go for it or kick, or that kind of falls on the head coach, and I think that should. But if I say go for it, then he has to call the right play for that yard and a half. he's very good at it.
All you ask him to do is call the right play, right?
That's right. That's right.
What's it like? You know, none of us get the experience unless you're a coach. But, you know, we see guys on headsets talking all the time. And all of us, I think, would go, I wonder what they're hearing and what they're saying when you get the. What's your rule of thumb on that? Do you have to be careful not to talk too much? What's the communication like? And what's the right way to do that?
Absolutely. Play calling, to me, is an art. And if you have somebody that can do it, boy, you hang on to them. because, you know, you're set up a play and you're thinking you're going to get 3 or 4 yards and it'll be 2nd and 4 and all of a sudden really something bad happens and you're 2nd and 15, you've got to have that instant play ready. And what I do is I'm always on the phone, the headset with him, and just saying, you know, when you get a chance, I think you can run the hitch to the backside of trips or quads because they're giving us that. But I don't tell him, okay, call it right now. I just plant that seed in him. So as he's progressing in his play calling and building, setting things up, to me, that's the secret of offense, is you make every play look like another play. And the ones that do that really well at college and pro level are the ones that are successful, I think, is you get the people thinking that something else is going to happen, and it isn't just a hunt-and-peck offense. It's setting things up. But that will be, my advice to him, that in your sequence of plays, when you want to come to this play, I think it'll work. So, he can get 20 different suggestions all the time from kids or coaches. And we don't want that.
Right.
I mean, everybody's got an idea, and the fans have another 2,000 ideas.
That's right. And every receiver's always open, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm wide open.
I'm wide open, Coach.
That's right. So, yeah, you've got to have that, letting one guy game plan, and we have our Sweet 16 plays, that these are the 16 that we want to use in the course of a game against this kind of defense that we think we're going to see the most. So he's going to run those in that order or get to those 16 in the course of the game, and we think those are the best 16 that we have in our playbook to run it that evening. So he's got some preparation, before the game starts.
Dwight Lundin is our guest. Dwight, when you had your great team a couple years ago and you won state championships, were they so good? I mean, especially with you've been in this game so long, so you can take a step back and appreciate it. Could you almost call any play? Because they, not only did they win, but they won convincingly most nights.
We did, but like you said, we talked about that Orono game. If we don't get that yard now, we don't even get there,
Yep.
And then we go there and win the state. It's still it's a crazy game, You don't know what 16-year-old is going to show up on Friday nights, and we were pretty good, and I thought we were really well prepared, we were well coached, but you still got to be lucky, and you've got to be good to run that 14-game schedule.
Yep.
And win it all. So it's sure fun and a fun time of the year, and I just love this. We practiced on a neutral field tonight, and kids get over on turf and on the game field, and it's just
maybe even have to flip the lights on at some point in time because it's getting dark so early. Yeah,
it gets dark at 5:30 almost. So, it's just it's a fun time of the year, and the temperatures, that 30 degrees and not snowing is Minnesota. That's what we grow up in.
Yep. Now, your first year at Becker was what year?
1970.
Okay, so 1970 to 2019, 50 years. Does it feel the same on the field before a game now as it did in 1970?
No. I'm a lot less nervous, I think. I'm just kind of slowed down and learned to appreciate it more. And I've got so much help now. Wow. 50 years ago, I did everything, offense, defense, linemen, everybody. I had to coach it all. Now I've got somebody helping me at every position, and it still is a lot of fun. We had fun, and we weren't very good, but those are good memories. But, no, it's changed tremendously, and I still really enjoy it, and the fire is there, and, you're – goal is to win the game, but the purpose is so much bigger, and that keeps you motivated.
What's the toughest position to develop?
Quarterback.
Is it?
Yeah, I spend 90% of my time on that position. If you're not good there at any level, it's a struggle. I mean, you might have great receivers and great running, but things happen so fast at that quarterback position that you have to have a really good player there all the time to make it happen. And the teams in the NFL, the best ones, got the best quarterbacks by far. You know, it just starts right there. Rodgers gets hurt and he's out 6 weeks, and Green Bay loses six straight games.
Yeah, do the math, right?
He comes back and they win the next eight.
Yep.
You know, I just, come on, who's the difference? Yeah.
So yeah. Can you teach somebody to be a good decision maker as a quarterback, or is it more about teaching them to minimize their mistakes?
Well, you know, that it isn't just you know, the athletic skills to it. It is a big part of being able to handle the pressure of that, and when to throw it away, and when to have a short memory, and all of those things are a huge part of being a really good quarterback. And hopefully, you know, there's some kids that are pretty athletic that just don't seem to work there. The personality, the leadership that you need at that position is not always in that person's repertoire. So you've got to then make a change and move them to a skill position and get a quarterback that is natural there and is a leader and can take the good and the bad and just keep moving on. Forget about that last play and make the good next one really good. You can't hang on to it.
Yeah, I was watching Brady the other night, and I thought, you know, a big part of his key, and it is not like, you know, you're going to get high school kids to perform like Tom Brady, and obviously he wasn't. You know, he was a good high school player, great high school player, but not off the charts at that point. But he's not afraid to live to see another day. He's not afraid to throw it away. It's that supreme confidence that I'm not going to get beat with a dumb decision, and I know I'm going to get enough opportunities during the game. I have faith that's going to happen, so I don't force anything. I mean,
you
talk about that's the plays he makes. To me, it's the plays he doesn't make that create the winner, you know?
Yep. The same thing with Cousins. I mean, he eliminated three or four of those plays that he, and now he's just right in the groove, and he's just doing it, and he's in that same thing. It's just when to throw it away, and don't get caught for that sack, and live to throw another down. Yep, you're exactly right.
So Delano on Friday, give us a key.
Yeah, they're got the best passing offense that they've had in many years, good receivers and a good quarterback. Pav over there does a great job and has been living with this run behind these big linemen. They still do that very well, but it's a difficult matchup for us because he can run the ball hard and then still throw the ball. So we're looking forward to it. It's going to be on turf, and that's kind of helps us. We're a little bit smaller, but we're fast, and we think that'll be an advantage for us. But it'll be a great matchup, and whoever wins that, I think, is going to go a ways in the next two rounds.
Well, you are a class act and a great ambassador to the great game of high school football, and we appreciate it, and we wish you nothing but the best because you've served this state so well in so many different ways.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that so much, Mike.
You bet. Dwight Lundin, head coach at Becker. They're back playing for a section title. Oh, what a surprise. I'll tell you, some of these section playoff games, they are second. I ran into a guy the other day at Target, and I run into lots of people, obviously, and lots of people come up and they want to share their opinion about the Vikings, the Gophers, the this, the that. But this one was unique and special. And it was different. It was different than what I expected when he came up to say hi. I'll explain when we come back.
Sports to the max.
Many of us love the fall season, but it does mean colder weather. Dave Lee for Aquarius Home Services. Folks, now is the time to tune up your furnace. And Aquarius has a fall furnace tune-up special for only $49. You know Aquarius for providing amazing Connecticut water. Trust me when I say they're top-notch in taking care of your furnace, too. The $49 furnace tune-up is for a limited time, so visit AquariusHomeServices.com and schedule yours today. That's AquariusHomeServices.com.
This is Al Connexon. Learn the skills to create income you can use now and in retirement right here on WCCO Saturdays at noon. Check us out at LearnWithOTA.com.
Online Trading Academy Radio.
Washburn Recreavy invites you to two free advanced planning seminars Tuesday, November 12th at noon and 6 p.m. at their Glen Haven Chapel. To RSVP, call 612-377-7841 or visit washburnrecreavy.com.
Hey, sports fans, it's football season. And the Radio.com app has you covered. Whether your favorite team is in your city or thousands of miles away, Radio.com has all your football coverage. And you'll also have access to sports shows like Jim Rome,
The Absolute Right Call,
Boomer and Geo, and so much more. Plus, you can stream every Clemson, LSU, Miami, and Notre Dame game. Listen to the football you want when you want. Radio.com on your desktop or download the free app now.
You wake up listening to Dave Lee using the alarm from the Radio.com app. You keep listening on the bus while you read the latest headlines on the app. You're on your laptop at lunch, checking out Chad at WCCORadio.com. Back at the office, Paul and Jordana are on. So you say, Google Home Play, play 830 WCCO. But silly you, you're at work. You have Alexa at your desk. Tell her. When you get home, you want to hear what Corey Heppel has said during your meeting. So you hear him on demand at Radio.com. Listen anyway, anywhere, anytime. News Talk 830 WCCO. The best radio station you can listen to. Without a radio.
This is a wonderful time of the year because everything comes together as one, you know? Baseball, football, basketball, and hockey all being played this week. How cool is that? The NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball, etc. But anybody that played any football in this cold weather, no, it is so cool to play football when it gets dark early. And if you get to practice in high school and they have to turn the lights on because you have to do it to practice. I remember those were the best times. And like we were playing in Gaylord, we'd go on to the state playoffs and the Mankato TV station would come out and do something on you. And I mean, that was just cool stuff. But I was in the, I walked into Target downtown a couple weeks ago. And I'm shopping, minding my own business, going to get my Halls mental, whatever it is. And the guy comes up and says, Mike Max. And I said, yep, that's me. And he says, I'm Corey Hollow. And I said, I hate you. Leave here and never come back. I hadn't seen Corey Hollow in 30-some years. But he was the opposing quarterback on the team that beat my Gaylord team when I was a junior in overtime. And we were undefeated and ranked number one in the state, and they beat us. And he was the starting quarterback for the opposing team. And so the name of Long Live was because he had a good night that night. And I was a defensive back, and he was tough. But here's what got me about him. And he now, by the way, I'm going to give him his kudos. He's a higher up at Target in the corporation. So sometimes we talk about sports is a good teacher for life. Well, obviously he learned something because he was a really good athlete, and now he's on the C-level at Target and has been for a long time doing his things, and he runs marathons, which is pretty cool. But he's all of 5'8", maybe tops, 5'7", 5'8". And you look at him and say, how did he beat us as a quarterback? He beat everybody. I think they lost in the state championship after us, but they were really good. And he was really good. And he runs marathons, he said, now, and still, does this and that and all those things. But when I saw him, it just, I wouldn't have said that in 1,000 years that it was him, but it also reminded me of how good you can be even if you're small. Even if you're 5'7", 5'8", 140, 150 pounds. I mean, he had not a good arm, he had a great arm. And he was accurate, and man, that was a tough night. And we lost 14-13. We went for two in overtime. And we were down two. We went for two to try to extend it to double overtime. We came up a yard short, and we were undefeated. Like one team had scored on us all year until that game. And he came in, and it was election night. The game didn't start till late, like 8 o'clock. He couldn't start a game till like 8 o'clock that night. And I remember this. And we were just so sure we were going to win state that year. Like I said, I think one team scored on us the entire season. Maybe two teams, something like that. But, it was like 7 shutouts in 9 games. And all of a sudden, the balloon gets popped, and it was because of Corey Hollow. I will never forget or forgive you, Corey. But it's great to see he's done such great things. Ken Foxworth is one interesting dude. He'll talk about pay for play. He used to play for the Gophers. He's gone jogging with President Bill Clinton. We'll bring it all together. He's also worked in the inner city and can give us the state of football and sports in the inner city. Ken Foxworth is in studio on Sports to the Max, and he's next.
Sports to the Max.
Do you know that mortgage rates have plummeted to a three-year low and are nearing historic lows? At the same time, home values have gone up roughly 50% in the last several years. However, they seem to be peaking now. Maybe it's time to put that equity to work by paying off high-rate credit cards, personal loans, or remodeling.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.